Are you a speech language pathologist or occupational therapist who is feeling the squeeze of high caseloads and limited support? Wondering if maybe private practice is the answer? Well, let's talk about it. Join me for a free training on May 6th at 8 p.m. Eastern, where we will explore what it really takes to leave the schools and start your own private practice in 2024. We're talking about the ability to have a flexible schedule, choose your own clients, create your own caseload cap, and uncap your earning potential by leaving salary ladders and scales behind so that you can finally earn what you're worth. Join me for a free training on May 6th at 8 p.m. Eastern, where we will explore what it really takes to leave the schools and start your own private practice in 2024. We're talking about the ability to have a flexible schedule, choose your own clients, create your own caseload cap, and uncap your earning potential by leaving salary ladders and scales behind so that you can finally earn what you're worth. Don't just dream about having better work-life balance. Make it your reality by starting your own private practice. To register, just head on over to privatepracticetraining.com right now and sign up, and I'll see you there. Melissa Perez is a speech-language pathologist with a private practice called Honeybee Speech in El Centro, California. She decided to start her private practice after experiencing burnout after working for a teletherapy company and discovering the Start Your Private Practice program back in 2022. Melissa grew quickly, quicker than she thought she would, and she recently ended up joining the Grow Your Private Practice program. In this episode, she talks about how she went from zero to 30 clients in the first 3 months of starting her practice. She also shares how she started out by renting a dentist waiting room for $50 a month and how she's expanded her practice through referrals and taking small, consistent steps. If you want to start and grow your private practice quickly, this is a must-listen episode, so stay tuned. I'm Jenna Castro-Casbon, CEO of The Independent Clinician and founder of Private Practice School. First, I started my own private practice. And then over the past 15 years, I've worked with over 10,000 SLPs and OTs to start and grow their successful private practices so they can have more freedom, flexibility, fulfillment, and finances. I created the Private Practice Success Stories podcast to share what's possible for you, your family, your clients, and your community when you choose private practice. We'll share everything from small private practice side hustles to flexible lifestyle private practices to traditional brick and mortar practices and everything in between. You'll meet regular clinicians just like you who followed our steps and are now living their private practice dreams. If they can do it, you can do it too. So let's get started. Before we dive in, can you please share your name, your location, and the name of your private practice?
So my name is Melissa Perez. I'm from El Centro, California, and my practice is called Honeybee Speech.
I've gotten to know you in the START program, and you were actually a panelist who came on to talk to people who were in our boot camp. And you went from like zero to 30 clients in 3 months. Is that right?
Yes. It happened so quickly. I didn't expect it. I knew there was such a need in this area, but my caseload grew faster than I had anticipated.
It's so crazy. We got to hear the zero to 30 in 3 months story here in a second. But before we get to that, can you please share a little bit about your early career and when did you start thinking about private practice?
Yeah. So I graduated 2020, right when the pandemic hit. I was in my final practicum experience in, I believe, March. And then I remember my supervisor at the time was like, do you want to stay? And I was like, yeah, that's fine. It's like a flu. It's okay. And then there was parts of the department that were getting COVID. I was like, I'm not getting paid. I'm out of here. Thank you. And then I graduated a few months after. I got hired at a clinic based in Palm Desert. So that's about 2 hours away. And at that time, everyone was a teletherapist. So I was initially going to go in person. I was going to commute the 2 hours. And I transitioned as a telehealth professional. And I did that for 3 years. They weren't sure if they were going to keep that position, but they did. And they offered me to continue and I accepted. And I really enjoyed my experience at that clinic. or on the computer. I love my caseload. It was beginning to get hard looking at the screen 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. And at that time, I was getting really bad dry eye. I was getting cabin fever. I'm a homebody, but that was just too much home for me. And it truly was affecting my mental health. So I was looking at alternative options in my area. And the most common position here is a school district. But I just heard of the burnout at the schools, and the caseloads are just so high, and the paperwork is so much. And that's not something that I wanted for my life. I'm someone who enjoys separating work and personal life, and I wanted more of that personal life. I didn't want to spend it so much on paperwork. So it was working in the schools. The other one was going into the homes for early intervention. And I love early intervention, but I didn't want only early intervention. I wanted some speech sound disorders, so like some older kids. And I thought, there's no other option. And so the only thing I thought of was, let me open up my own thing. Let's see how that goes. And that's when it started. It started in April of 2023 is when the idea began.
Which we are almost, we're recording this actually in March of 2024, right? Yes. It's been almost 1 year, right?
Yeah.
And so I love so much about your story and just kind of thinking about, like, that was a crazy time during those early days of COVID. And we just kind of did whatever we had to, right? But I love how you kind of, you did it. And then you thought, you know what, this isn't working for me anymore. And I feel like that's what's happening to a lot of clinicians at their air quotes regular jobs, is they're like, this was okay for a while, but it's not okay anymore. And people get itchy. We're like, well, maybe it's just me, or maybe I got to go find a new job. But what you said that I think is really important, listeners, for you to hear is that she tried to look for a new job, but instead you decided to create your own job.
Yeah. The thought, it was just so daunting. I don't have any business experience. And I thought, where do I start? And I'm sure as everyone in the speech world, your video has always come up. Somehow, somewhere on Facebook, on Instagram, it's always popped up. And I remember, Jenna, I saved one of your videos. Yeah, I think I was in grad school, but I didn't think, no private practice idea ever popped in my head until April of last year, because I was like, there's nothing here and there's such a need. So I thought, I'll give it a go. Let's see what happens.
I love it. So what made you actually decide to start, right? Like, what made you either decide to start the START program or start seeing clients? Was it one thing, or was it just kind of this, listen, I just want to do this myself?
It was really staying home all the time, affecting my mental health. I had to get out of the house. I think that was the biggest push, is I got to get out. And so that's when I started the private practice idea. And I came upon your video. I did one of your bootcamp trainings, like the free one. And I thought, you know what? This is an investment for me. If it doesn't work out, then I'll just go back to what I'm doing normally. It's fine. I'll figure something else out. But I just want to try. Let's see if I can try. And I had the financial means to do it. So I went forward with it. The videos, and I've mentioned this in the student panel, they're so short and so easy to understand. I went through the videos so quickly, and I thought, let me just start Saturdays. I'm going to start from 9 to 12. That's all I'm going to do, maybe 3-4 clients max, and see how that goes. And that lasted 2 weeks, and then more people started calling, and I am a recovering people pleaser, and I couldn't say no. So I kept saying, yeah. And it quickly went from 9 to 5 on a Saturday. And it truly, John, just took off.
Yeah.
Truly, truly.
I remember some of the posts that you were posting, right? You'd be like, I got 4 more calls today. And now I'm doing this. And now I'm doing this. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this girl's blowing up.
I'm telling you, it happened so fast. And something I do want to mention is that starting a private practice, sometimes people think that they have to have this grand room. It has to look beautiful. It has to have all these toys. And You don't have to start that way. You can start going into the homes if that's what you're comfortable with. I was not at the time. I'm still not. And so what I did, I was looking in my community and see if I can rent a small room. And it was so hard. I found some small rooms, but they were so expensive. I found one room at a local doctor's office. And for one Saturday, so for four times a month, every Saturday, $1,000. No way for 4 days a month. And I came across a dentist, Dr. Ainza, and I will be forever grateful for him. I met him. He had this newly renovated office. It was beautiful. He offered one of his rooms, but they have the dentist equipment and little ones are, they want to discover everything. And I was like, I don't want anything to break. So the only room really that didn't have that kind of equipment was the waiting room. And please keep in mind, again, newly renovated, beautiful waiting room. I asked him, I'm like, can I rent your waiting room? And he goes, absolutely. And I asked him, like, how much do you want to charge for it? And he said, I'm not in it for the money. He's like, how does $50 sound? Done. Can we sign right now? I'll start this Saturday. And that's when it happened. He gave me the key. I was able to access it every Saturday. And thinking, I was like, the parents are going to think this is so odd. I'm in a waiting room. I don't have an official room. And I remember my first client came in and I told her, I'm like, this is temporary. I'm just starting. And she goes, this is great. I love it. Let's start. I'm like, okay, great. So, I never had any weird looks. They just came in so happy that this service is now available. And I overthought it. Truly did. I just overthought it. And again, you don't have to start big. Start small.
Yeah. And you can, I say this all the time, listeners, maybe you've heard me say this, but you can have the brick and mortar clinic one day, but not on day one, right?
Yeah.
On day one, you start with whatever you have, right? I talk a lot about the CCCs of location, right? So it has to be cheap, right? In the very beginning, you gotta be.
Yes, it does.
Just said, right? It's gotta be cheap. It also has to be convenient for you and your clients, and it has to be comfortable, right? Melissa, you said something really important was that you didn't feel comfortable going into people's homes, right? Mm-hmm. And that's totally fine, right? Some people do. I love going into people's homes. I love that, but not everybody does. So if you don't, totally fine, but you got to see people somewhere. So either you see them on teletherapy, you find a cheap clinic, like until you can expand, and you just get going, right? That's the most important thing is that so many SLPs and OTs, I love y'all, but there's a lot of overthinking. You just got to do it.
Got to do it. And I think in this, just the Facebook group by itself was worth the cost of the program because there's so many ideas that people have, like going in a church, going to the library, going to the park, going into people's homes and people's, like so many ideas like, oh, I never thought of that. Those are great ideas. That's not something I wanted to do. And that's okay. I have found another way and it worked for me.
I love it. Okay. So now you have your full on Saturdays. And so now take our listeners, what did it look like for your practice to go from full on Saturdays to like where you are?
After about a month, I reached out to my director and let her know that I had opened a private practice. And but mind you, so I was having the 9 to 5 and then my wait list was growing. I think I had about 5 or 6 on my wait list. So I'm like, more's coming. I feel like if I go more full time, I guess, I will be able to fill up the time. And so when I met with her, it was terrifying. But I feel like the feelings before something happened are worse than it actually is. And so, but she was so supportive. She, I mean, same age as I am. She is a millennial and she understands, like, yeah, you have to do what's best for you. She's like, I support you. Let me know if you ever need a transition meeting to leave our company. And she goes, I'm going to help. If you need help understanding the business side, because she is the most business oriented, like she knows everything about it. She's so well spoken. I was like, I would love to learn from her. And so, she was fully supportive and I went part-time and it lasted a week. I thought it was going to take months. Like I thought 3 months, give me 3 months and I'll be able to take the full time like Monday through Friday. and it literally lasted a week. I got so many phone calls. And I think it was that Monday when we had the meeting. And then I emailed her Friday and I said, we need to schedule that transition meeting. And I think the week after, I was done. And it was so scary leaving such a like a stable job. It was stable. I knew I would have clients coming in. I could fill in the doc time or no shows with documentation. I would still be able to get paid. But it's not as easy as when you're having a private practice. But it just worked out so perfectly. And I'm very happy that it turned out how it did. And I got that support to go full time.
And I love that. Can you talk about that just like a little bit more? Because I think so many people are worried about that. That whole stability of an SLP or an OT job, like feeling like there's that safety net, like you have that consistent income. It really is hard for people who haven't started to think a little bit more like entrepreneurs or whatever. So how did you feel comfortable enough to shift from like typical employment to being fully self-employed?
Well, the first part was insurance. I feel like that's a big thing for a lot of families. For me, I was double insured. I am under my husband's insurance. Thank you. And so I was able to leave feeling comfortable. I have insurance. And then two, I love the finance world. I love talking about money. I love understanding the stock market and index funds and mutual funds. And I've already opened up a Roth IRA. Now I'm learning about a simple IRA and the simple one. And then there was another one, the SEP IRA. There's so many different kinds of retirement plans that you can open. It's not only a 401k. It's not. There's so many more options. And I feel like that's the only kind of employment route that a lot of employers give you. But there's so many other alternatives that you like. A Roth IRA is so great. You put your money in and it's post-tax money. So when you take it out, you're taking more of what you want rather than it being taxed by the government. So I felt like having knowledge or having the insurance and then having the knowledge about finances, I felt better about it. And then also too, as a speech pathologist, there's jobs everywhere. Truly, I mean, how many times are we getting called by the staffing companies and there's a job in San Jose for $5,000 a week? I mean, they're everywhere. So I felt like I always had a backup plan. I can always go to the school if that was needed. I would enjoy it, maybe. It was an option.
Yeah. But I love that you brought up also the whole retirement thing, because that really is something that ties people to jobs. And unfortunately, the way that kind of like the US government is set up is people like health insurance and retirement do come through employers. Yeah. However, there's a lot of self-employed people out there, right? There's a lot of people who are getting that on their own, but just the mindset of a typical employee, a typical speech pathologist, occupational therapist, is in order to have those things, I have to have a job, but that's not true. It's not true. And it's keeping people at their jobs. It's like the little carrot that they're dangling in front of you. Retirement. And it's like
100%.
I didn't want to wait 30 years at a job to get my retirement, right? Like I also have Roth IRAs and SEP IRAs. I have all of my own investment accounts. And I hired someone to do that. I have a financial planner, which sounds really fancy, but it's only $600 a year. You can have an investment account, a retirement account that does better than the one that you're like slaving away for at your job. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not only stay in your job.
Yes. And if one thing too, if I can recommend a book, it's called A Simple Path to Wealth. It's on Amazon. I think it's like less than $20. And that book changed my idea of finance. Like it's not that hard. It truly is not that hard. And that book, it's truly in layman's terms of explaining how the stock market is. They give you recommendations of the simplest index funds that you can invest in that grow exponentially over the year. Not guaranteed because it's the stock market, but it gives you like good amount of knowledge. And if you ever want to take that route, you'll feel good about it. So highly recommend that book.
Yeah, totally. And here's the other thing is that when you have a regular job, some money goes in that you've actually paid for, right? You've actually paid for the money to go in there, right? When you have your own business, like Melissa, you don't have to give us exact numbers, but you're making more than you were in the clinic. So you can put more away for retirement when you have more money. I can't tell you all the amount of people in my programs who have very specific plans to retire early, right? If you make more money now, you don't have to work until you're 65. You can retire in your 50s, maybe even 40s if you do this the right way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's an option. Just got to learn. You got to learn about it. I know it's daunting, but I'm telling you, there are resources out there that simplify the world of the stock market and investing. And it truly is not as hard as you think it is.
Yeah.
Similar to a private practice. It doesn't just have to be this intense mountain of a task thing. Like really, you just have to take small steps.
Hi there, Jenna Castor-Casbon here, and I hope that you're loving the episode so far. Chances are you've been listening to this podcast for a while and soaking up a ton of information from myself and our guests, and it's time to make the shift from dreaming to doing and go from inspiration to implementation. Successful private practices don't build themselves. At The Independent Clinician, we help regular SLPs and OTs become successful private practitioners using our proven systems. No more guessing, no more Googling, no more sleepless nights stressing about legalities. We can help you just like we've helped the guests featured on this show. They didn't guess or stress their way through private practice. Instead, they got step-by-step help along the way, and we're excited to help you too. If you need help to get set up and started with private clients on the side, the Start Your Private Practice program is perfect for you. If you've already started and you want to transition into full-time private practice and be successful once you're there, the Grow Your Private Practice program is your next step. To learn more about our programs, go to independentclinician.com. Now back to the episode.
You took small steps. However, people took big steps toward you from like nobody to a lot of people in a very short period of time, right? So what is your private practice look like now? And what kind of cool stuff do you have on the horizon?
Now, okay. So I believe I have about 30 clients on my caseload. I have maybe about 10 on my wait list. I hired a biller and she is getting me credentialed with various insurance companies. So that is coming soon. I'm actually right now credentialed with Blue Shield. So that's very exciting. And on Friday, I am getting the keys to a huge office. And the best thing is, Jenna, it's a 3-minute walk from my house. 3 minutes. But I will say the office that I have now. So after I left the waiting room, I found another location and that's a 3-minute drive. And that office, it was great. It's small. The parking isn't that great. It's a little tough. And there's not a lot of space, but it worked for the time being. And that one I shared with a social worker. So she was there on Wednesdays and I had Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and sometimes Saturdays. And so I wanted a space where it was just all mine, where I didn't have to kind of share one side of the room. I would have enough space for all the toys, my gosh, that I buy. And parking is so important. I never thought about that. I mean, I'm not a parent. So I never thought of the importance of having like a good parking lot and something that's not near a fast road. The area where I'm at, it's like 25 max, maybe 35, but it's not anything here because I have a lot of runners where I open the door and they're gone. And then I want to make sure that they run in a safe space. So the place that I'm moving into now, it has everything I want. It truly has everything I want. And utilities are included. Again, a 3-minute walk. And I negotiated the price down. Don't always take the first price. Negotiate. I know it's so hard. I negotiated, I think, like $200 down. And they were taking so long. For me, it was only a week, but I felt like it was so long for them to get back to me. And I called and I was like, I'll just take what the price is now. And she goes, no, because it was the realtor for the owner. And she goes, let me see if I can help you. And we were able to get it $100 down.
Oh, perfect.
That worked out. I need to have more patience. But I mean, it's all falling into place. It has been over the last 8 months. And I feel like it truly is not a coincidence. Really, for everything to happen as it's been happening, there's no way to get something in the area that I'm in or near. There's never anything in there, really never anything. And there was one section of that plaza that I never drive by, but I thought, oh, let's try it today. And there was a for lease sign. I'm in my 20 years of living here, 28 years. I've never driven in there, never. And I did. And I saw that sign. I said, how funny is that?
Like, listeners and Melissa, like, certain stars have aligned this whole time, right?
100%.
Like, from like having a flexible like employer, letting you kind of be shifting your hours, knowing that, yes, you probably would fill up pretty quickly, but she let you come to that conclusion on your own, right? Yeah. You discovered this huge need for services in your area, and now you're filling them. And I think that's the beautiful thing, everybody, that this is what you can do in private practice, because the kids that Melissa works with were either going without services, stuck on wait lists, not really sure where to get services or whatever. And now here she comes. It's no wonder that you're full and have a wait list. The people in the area need you.
Definitely. And I would say in California, I am the only clinician that has a physical office for 85 miles. 85 miles. We have Yuma, which is pretty close. I wasn't able to find a clinic. I'm not sure. Maybe I just didn't come across it. But I mean, at least here in California, 85 miles. I am hoping that there's more speech pathologists that actually do leave the school, because I'm the kind of person, I feel like I've truly learned this in the program, where if there's more practices, it does not mean competition. It truly does not mean competition. There's another couple here. They're both speech pathologists and they've been sending me referrals. And I try to reach out, like, are you accepting any? But they've been full from like day one. But it's, if I can refer more, I'm even referring clients to my previous employer. I'm like, hey, right now I'm private pay. I do have Blue Shield, but if they don't have Blue Shield, I'm like, I want to make sure that your child is getting services. And if they're able to attend to maybe telehealth, I know this great place that I think that they would really flourish in, and I'm going to recommend them to you. It's not a competition. Truly, there's enough to go around. There's a lot of kids who need help. And I want more speech pathologists to take that risk if you can. I understand finances, you have a family, there are multiple factors that you have to think of. But again, you can start small. You can start on a Saturday, get maybe 1 to 2 hours max, see how that goes. And if you love it, grow it. If you don't, keep it there or go down. I mean, it's all up to you. That's the best part of having a practice. You can modify your schedule as much as you want.
Totally. And it's great for different seasons of life, for exactly what you just said, right? Where are most of your clients coming from right now?
So majority of them are coming from my local regional center. I have an agreement with them. Something to keep in mind is that if you are going to go the early intervention route, getting an agreement with your local regional center is going to be amazing. They're going to send you so many clients. It's not guaranteed, though. They are going to mention to you that you're not going to be guaranteed these clients, but there's so many that they just keep coming. I get some from some local pediatrician's offices, which is so awesome. The other day, I think it was about a week or two ago, I actually had a pediatrician's office call me and ask if they could send me a referral. I am cheating on this one. My cousin is a nurse practitioner, and so I give her the flyers. I did go in to meet the doctor, so I wanted to make sure they see my face. And word of mouth, Instagram. I'm not a Facebook person. I created the page. I can't on Facebook. So Instagram is where I primarily post a lot of educational content. And that's where people find me.
I love that. And listeners, understand what she's saying is like multiple different places, right? So one of them is through the regional center, right? Which is, if you live in a state that operates with this regional center model, it's a really great way to fill your practice, right? But like, you can't just stop with one thing, right? There's a lot of beginning private practitioners out there they make a couple posts online and they do a couple other things and they get completely stuck because they're like, well, I don't know what else to do. And I'm like, well, marketing is not a one and done thing. You have to keep going with it and you have to get a little bit more creative or figure out other like groups of people to be talking to or whatever, right? So Melissa, I love that you've diversified like who you're talking to and how you're talking to them, because word of mouth doesn't just happen because you want it to. You have to give people something to talk about so that then they're talking about you, right?
Yeah. And something too that I did in the beginning was I would place flyers at all the Starbucks in my community. And there were actually a few people that found me from the flyer at Starbucks. I was like, oh, how funny is that? I mean, the simplest things, you could put it at your local church. You can, Starbucks is always a good one because a lot of people, like a lot of students that are there, or a lot of parents are, oh, library. Library is a great one. There was a flyer kind of cart in the child section of the library. I was like, oh, how perfect. So I put a bunch in there. There's so many places you can put them. Think about like where children are. And that, I mean, the parents are going to follow. So think of those places.
Yes, totally. I love your energy. I love that you like decided to do this. I love that you're like, listen, I love my profession. I love what I'm doing, but how I'm doing it isn't working for me anymore. Yeah. And so how can I create something that is going to work for me and is also going to work for people in my community, right? To not have another clinic in 85 miles, that means people are having to travel quite a distance, yeah. Or they're not. You know what I mean? So you really were able to service way more kids that otherwise wouldn't have necessarily gotten services.
Yes. And I've had so many parents tell me that they went the telehealth route. And as someone who did that for 3 years, I feel like telehealth is a valid way of providing services, but it's not for everyone. There are a lot of parents who need that hands-on support, especially with early interventions, a lot of parent coaching, and you're coaching them through the strategies of how to model language and how to follow the child's lead. And sometimes you truly need to see someone do it before they kind of step in. And that's my modality. I always tell parents, I'm going to be showing you X and Y strategy. I want you to watch me for the next couple minutes, and then I'm going to have you come down. Because I always tell parents, wear comfy clothes because you're going to be on the floor with me. Because it's truly two separate skills. Learning a strategy and actually implementing it. I can watch baking shows all day. It doesn't mean I know how to bake a cake. They're two skills. So I always tell parents, you got to get on the floor with me because you got to learn. It's only an hour a week. And I want to make sure all the other hours that you're practicing at home, you know what to do.
I really liked that analogy of watching baking shows and knowing how to bake too, because it also made me think in terms of private practice, right? Like people have clinical skills, right? People, we all went to graduate school. We have all these clinical skills, but just because you have clinical skills doesn't mean you have business skills. And I see so many people making that mistake, right? People who decide to like DIY their private practices get into trouble a lot of times because they're really running their business like a clinician and doing it. It's a lot of clinician mindset. What they're focused on is the therapy. But if you're going to run a business, it's a lot more than just the therapy, right?
Oh, and it's so hard. There have been a few instances where I had to enforce my policies, and it is so tough. And for me right now, there were moments, especially from November, December, those are hard months because of the holidays, people are taking breaks. So I will say for me, those months I did struggle a little bit. So in order to kind of compensate for a lot of no-shows and cancellations, I did implement late fees or no-show fees. And implementing those fees, I was terrified. I remember texting a parent and letting them know because they canceled, I think, an hour or two before the session. And I said, as per the attendance policy or late show fee policy, I'm going to be charging this plus a transactional fee. I was like, I don't want to say that part. And parent was like, okay, I'll send it right now. I'm like, oh, that wasn't that bad. I thought, again, it's always the thought before that's worse than actual going through it. No parent has really pushed back on the fees. They understand that the service is really needed. And I tell them my schedule's full. Like, they want a makeup session. I'm like, oh, it's going to be on a Saturday right now because I have nothing during the week. And so they're understanding like that spot is like sacred right now. They can't lose that spot. So they're like, oh, yeah, I'll send you the fee right now. Oh, thank you.
And that's what happens when you run your practice like a business, right? But I see more often than not, people who are really struggling in private practice are not doing that. They're feeling overly guilty. They're feeling like they can't do whatever. We didn't get into this field necessarily for the money, but when you have a business, your business needs money, right?
Yeah.
And so you have to make that switch. And so I love, Melissa, getting to see you starting to make that switch between running your business like a clinician and really running it like a boss.
Yeah, it's a learning process. It truly is. It's always tough and it's daunting because you don't want to be that person, but you're offering a service and it's business. It's not anything personal. It's a business. So it's part of it. And I'm getting better at it. I'm very thankful. And I always try to approach it in a kind, not like, yeah, they owe me money. No. And I'll make exceptions where I have sometimes families are having a hard month. And there was a note show fee. I'm like, no, that's fine. We'll make up a session another week. That's okay. You could be lenient sometimes, of course, given the situation, but being stern the other times, it's something that's got to happen.
Yeah, totally. Love it. So for anyone who's been listening, who's like, wow, okay, this Melissa, she seems pretty convincing. I think if she could do it, maybe I can do it too, right? But what would you say to someone who's really on the fence about either private practice or joining the START program?
I feel as speech pathologists, we can be perfectionists. Mm-hmm. How we like to have a plan. We find comfort in a plan. And if that plan doesn't go accordingly, we can feel like gut-wrenched and disappointed and just not want to continue. But I feel like going into it, knowing that there's going to be mistakes and it's pretty much guaranteed you're going to make a mistake, I feel like that puts less pressure on it, where it's part of the process, and understand that those mistakes are learning opportunities. And man, oh man, are there lots of learning opportunities. But it's nice because, yes, in the beginning, it's scary. You don't know how to handle it, but I'm most likely the situation might come again and you know how to handle it. And I feel like you're much more prepared. And two, I would feel that know your strengths and weaknesses. Like going into it, I went into this field because I love to talk. I offer a free 15-minute consultation and it always goes to like 20, 30 minutes because I can just talk. And understanding that's my strong suit. I like scheduling, like to market. I go out and talk to people. That's what I like to do. But a weakness of mine is like the insurance. And I mentioned it earlier, like reading some of the descriptions of like deductibles and copays, and I'll read it over and think, what does that mean? And so I, again, that's a weakness for me. So I thought, let me reach out and find someone that is their strength, that they know everything about billing and credentialing. And I found someone. And I'm so thankful that I did, where I had a parent call me yesterday and they asked you to take United Healthcare. And I'm like, I don't right now, but let me see. Let me get back to you. Let's see like what that process is going to be like. And I text Linda, hey, Linda, can I get credentialed with so? And she goes, yep, I'm on it. Oh, easy. And she'll just email me documents like, can you sign here, fill this out? And I just send it back to her and done. And it's so nice. So I feel like they're opening a private practice again. There's going to be strengths and weaknesses that you have. Think about your weaknesses and figure out if you can bring on people to help supplement that weakness of how you thrive. Because it's going to be tough, but it's not impossible. You can do it. You really can. Take it day by day.
I love it. So I'm sure that you have inspired people, and you mentioned that you spend more time like on Instagram, for example, than Facebook. Where can people find you online?
Oh, so my Instagram handle is IBHoneybeeSpeech. And then that was one of the kind of bump that I went through. Is that I thought for sure my website, my domain's going to be honeybeespeech.com. That's taken. And I'm like, oh man. And there's a service where you can pay someone to reach out to that owner and see if you can pay for it. And they agreed. And they're like, yeah, they'll sell it for $15,000. No, thank you. So I just added IV for Imperial Valley. Done.
I love that. I love that. So everyone, go look Melissa up online. But Melissa, thank you so much for being just a start your private practice student and just star individual, right? Who's brought these.
Thank you.
And just a wonderful person to have show people what's possible. So thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, of course. It was so much fun.
Okay. Don't you just love Melissa? I love how she found a way to grow her private practice through a variety of referrals and by taking small, consistent steps in the right direction. She is a perfect example of someone who hit the ground running as soon as she entered the START program, and it has really paid off big time. If you would like to learn more about our programs and how we can help support you, just like we've supported Melissa, please visit privatepracticeschool.com. As always, thank you for listening, and please tune in next week for another episode of the Private Practice Success Stories podcast. Till then.
Well, this episode might be over, but we don't have to say goodbye. Head on over to independentclinician.com for resources that will help you at each stage of your private practice journey. If you're on Instagram, let's connect. Follow me and send me a DM. I'm at Independent Clinician. And if you're on Facebook, make sure that you join the SLP and OT Private Practice Beginners Facebook group. All right, off to help more regular SLPs and OTs become successful private practitioners. Let me know if I can help you too.